The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Unquestionably, it's a part of the lore of America, even if its tactics and motives might cause the framers of the U.S. Constitution to roll over in their graves sometime. Since its founding, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has been about generating public fear to justify some very private and secret tactics for fighting the enemies it saw everywhere, or at least the enemies that FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover saw.
The Communist Party of America is doing everything in its power to steal the minds and the souls and the hearts of our young people. They have never worked so feverishly as they have in the last 2 years in some of our colleges and institutions to enlist the youth of this country in the faith and loyalty to a foreign power, the Soviet Union.
It's the legendary J. Edgar Hoover speaking to Congress back in the 1960s at the height of his power. It turns out that Hoover and the FBI constructed the modern notion of counterterrorism. The tools and tactics of detection and undercover investigation, infiltration, secret monitoring, pushing the Constitution to the edge and over sometimes, all are issues that we might associate with the war on terror in our time, but are in fact pages from a text, or better to say, inventions from the mind of J. Edgar Hoover and his beloved FBI. Inventions that started forming back in the 1920s. Joining us is Tim Weiner, author of Enemies, a terrific history of the FBI. You can read an excerpt of the book on our website, thetakeaway.org. Tim, welcome to the program.
Good morning, John.
You know, I was struck to learn that Hoover's notion of enemies and anti-communism and even his notion of the corruption possible at the highest levels of the U.S. government were all formed during the Harding administration in the 1920s.
Or even before, back during World War I, when he first joined the Justice Department and began forthwith constructing the mechanics of mass arrest and detention, which he then carried out. He led the first great raids against Reds in this country and summarily arrested at least 6,000 people.
How did Hoover imagine what he was doing and what he imagined doing was consistent with the U.S. Constitution?
When you take the oath of office as president and when you become an FBI agent, you swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. The enemies, communists, anarchists, terrorists, and today jihadis, aim to alter or abolish the government. And Hoover's war, which went on all his life from World War I until his death in 1972, was an all-out war in which there were no holds barred. And he felt that only he and the FBI stood between safety and the overthrow of the government of the United States.
And because of that, Hoover couldn't see that a critic of the U.S. government, the civil rights movement, people like Martin Luther King Jr., he could not see that they were anything other than this phalanx of enemies.
Well, Hoover believed that Martin Luther King and, more importantly, his closest advisors were either communists or tools of the Communist Party. And he equated communism, anarchy, liberalism, the anti-war movement, the civil rights movement, conflated them with the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, believed that they constituted mortal threats to the established order of the United States.
And
this, he was not alone.
Indeed. And it was a convincing argument to presidents. Explain how the FBI has created its relationship with the president over history, and Hoover being the driver of this. Did the FBI come to the president and say, here are these tools we have to help you? Or did the FBI dictate to the president?
Hoover served 48 years as FBI director, and he served under 11 presidents. He knew how to flatter and cajole and stroke, but he also knew that information is power, secret information is secret power, and secret information that you are giving to the president, that is heaven, nirvana, power cubed. And so, beginning with President Franklin Roosevelt, who authorized Hoover in secret to wiretap, bug, commit black bag jobs, eavesdrop against both communists and fascists in the United States, although Hoover preferred going after communists, up to really the present day. And things have now changed under the new director, FBI Director Bob Mueller. The power of the FBI to both fight spies and saboteurs and dig up dirt on presidential enemies has been a useful tool. Very few presidents don't want to hear that kind of thing.
You know, much has been made of Hoover's, sort of sexual proclivities, but the power of this book is really a story of America and how the FBI and Hoover changed it. One of the things you learn in this book is that the impulses of the Bush administration after 9/11 were not something that were a radical departure, very much come from what's been going on in the United States since the 1920s. Yes?
That is absolutely correct. And the difference is that the FBI director today pushed back against illegal electronic eavesdropping by the president and won. Today's director, Bob Mueller, is the first FBI director who actually said, "Mr. President, what you're doing is illegal and I will resign unless you get
Amazing.
It right."
And an amazing sort of historical moment at the end of Tim Weiner's extraordinary new book based on 70,000 declassified documents and all kinds of investigations. And no blind sources, no confidential sources. It's all on the record. Enemies is the name of it, A History of the FBI. Pulitzer Prize winner Tim Weiner wrote it. Thanks, Tim.
Be good, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.